Take your Bibles, if you will, with me, please, to the book of Romans in chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Again, so good to have you. What a privilege it is to stand before you behind this sacred desk and open the Word of God. Romans chapter 12. For those who are visiting among us this morning, and we welcome those who are on live stream with us, we're always glad to have you. And the ones who are here had to get canoes to get here this morning, but we're glad that you're here, and we're glad to have our live stream family with us as well. But those of you who are regularly with us know that we're in a series. We started almost a quarter of a year ago. Can you believe that? About almost 3 months ago. It doesn't seem like we've been here that long. That makes it sound a little longer, doesn't it? But a number of weeks ago, as we started this in December, and we began it in December, continued in January, and now we're almost to the conclusion of February. And so we're in a series that God laid upon my heart, becoming a new pastor here, a pastor here for the first time at Calvary Baptist, and asking the Lord to help us to establish a foundation before we really set out to do this or set out to do that, and really going after in the highways and hedges and compelling them to come in to make certain that the ones who are here, especially this individual, this fella, to make sure that Randy Bray and all of us are already prepositioned. We've made the decisions that needed to be made. We've disciplined our lifestyle to be in conformity to the Word of God. We have a vision that God requires us to have to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We've already made things right if something's wrong with a brother or sister in Christ. Either they have ought against us or we have ought against them. Then the responsibility, either way, if you know there's conflict, the responsibility is to go to that individual who's wronged you or to go to that individual whom you've wronged and get right. So God laid this on my heart many, many, many weeks ago that before we really try to establish new ministries or going after this or repairing that or building this or whatever it is, that we make certain that the foundation is solid. Because if we build on a foundation that's not solid, well, I don't need to go into the house that's built on the rock or built on the sand. And we all know of buildings in San Francisco or down at the beach or wherever that the superstructure was not very super. It was just structure. And when the winds came, the howlings came, the shifting of the land came, that the buildings came down, and sometimes casualties were significant. And so that's what we want to make certain of, is that we make certain that we are right, that we have a biblical perspective, whether we're talking about relationships, whether we're talking about attitudes or actions, no matter what the subject is, that we have a biblical perspective and we have disciplined our character to follow through with that biblical perspective to whether we eat or drink. Well, let's just quote it together. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the, you're right, to the glory of God. So with that in mind, as God laid on my heart, and I know I've repeated it each week, but I want to get it ingrained in my mind, and I'm inviting you to do that as well, that we are on number 4 out of 6 in the series. Number 4 out of 6, we're going to begin to do that today as time allows. So here we go. It all is taken from, and we'll not look at it, from Ephesians chapter 2, and it's that we should be to the praise of His glory. To the praise of His glory. Actually, it's chapter 1, verse 12, I believe. That we are to be to the praise of His glory. And I took the word praise that God laid on my heart. These are necessary if we're going to be the church God wants us to be. The letter P stands for principled in doctrine. That produces maturity. The letter R is righteous in fellowship. Why do we have fellowship with one another? Or why do we not have fellowship with one another? We are to be righteous in our fellowship. And then last week, we had accurate in conflict. Actually, the last 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago, we dealt with Joel's understanding, helping us to understand from the Old Testament book of Joel what repentance is truly about. And the 10, there's two handfuls of principles that really are necessary in this matter of true repentance before God. But then last week, as we're talking about being accurate in conflict, then we went to the New Testament and looked at many passages about this matter of forgiveness. The first time was on repentance, where I need to repent of something. And then the final of that last week was, how do we give forgiveness? How often do we forgiveness? What's involved in forgiveness? When do we begin forgiveness? What are the stages of forgiveness? And oftentimes there's three different stages of forgiveness. And we looked at that last time. Then today, we're going to begin with the letter I. So you had P, R, righteous and fellowship, A, accurate in conflict, and today we're going to have innocent in testimony. We're going to look at being innocent in testimony. Innocent in testimony. Let's pray. Father, I pray that I will be able to communicate what you've given to my heart. And Lord, as I begin to go through this, I pray that we'll understand how significant to you that innocence of testimony is, and we'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever experienced this, that someone gives you directions? They go, well, it's not hard to find. I mean, it's in the country. It's not hard to find at all. You just go down here, and you're going to come to a crossroads, and you take your right on that crossroads, and then you go to a cow pointing north. That cow's always pointing north. And so you go to that cow pointing north, and you take a left. You go down a 6/10 and 1/8 of a mile, and you take a right. You're going to see this barn. Well, it used to be a barn, and it used to be a big barn. It's not a big barn anymore. The roof is off of it, and half of it's off, but that's okay. You'll see where it used to be. And you take a left there. Then you go 11 miles, and you can't miss it because there's a hill. And when you go over that hill, and it's not a big hill, as a matter of fact, it's more like a bump, but you're going to go over it, and when you go, or maybe it's instruction. And the instructor, and I have to be careful with this as an instructor of college students, the instructor says, now in the syllabus it says this, however, contrary to the syllabus or in addition to the syllabus, here's what I want you to know so that you'll be ready for the midterm exams that start this week, as a matter of fact. And so that I just rattle on and on, which I never do. I just rattle on and on. I see those smiles. So as I'm going on, and at the end of it, I'll ask the question, do you understand? Or perhaps it's a preacher. Maybe I shouldn't give this illustration. But it's a preacher who goes into the Greek, the Aramaic, the Bohemian. He goes into all kinds of languages and this, and he uses words that are so long it needs a zip code all by itself. And at the end of the message, he's just certain that everybody understands. And at each of those situations, maybe direction, maybe instruction, maybe even in a message, that's something that is not easily understood. And you're posed the question, do you understand? And the individual, I'm going to start it and see if you can finish it. The individual or individuals say, oh, that was as clear as, yep, you know the phrase, all right, clear as mud. As a matter of fact, that's the title of the message this morning, clear as mud. Spiritually, we can have the same kind of situation happening, especially among those who are unsaved. Yes, here at Calvary Baptist Church, if we're not careful, we will be causing, really a misunderstanding, a consternation that will arise in the hearts of those that we let them know. Boy, we let them know at the workplace. We let them know at the gas station. We let them know I'm a Christian. And yet, I'm wondering sometimes if it's not clear as mud. Listen to what the Bible says, and we're not quite to where we're going to be yet, but listen to what the Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter 15 and verse 16. The Lord Jesus said, let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Now that's the Bible command, that we are to so reflect the light of Christ in our lives that when they see us, when they consider us, when we even get away from them, that the quality of our testimony as a child of God is so radiating of the love of God and the glory of God and the holiness of God and the righteousness of God. It's not like we walk around with a halo on our, but we walk around in such a way that there is nothing about our testimonies, nothing about our lives that brings despite or discredit to the testimony of God. As I consider about when he says, let your light so shine among men that they may see your works, my works, and when they see our walk before them and before God, it says that they may glorify God, your Father which is in heaven. So as you and I think about that, why would they get a wrong opinion? When somebody would say to them, oh, do you want to be a Christian like that? Would they say, oh, that's about as clear as mud what it means to be a Christian. How many of you have heard someone make a statement, not about you, but about someone else, said about an unsaved individual, if that's a Christian, I don't need it. Anybody? Oh, yeah, all over the auditorium. That's what we're talking about here. So what is the remedy for that? How do we make certain as God's children, again, this is a series for God's children. We kind of try to put the gospel message into it, but nonetheless, the heart and soul of the messages all the way through this series is for God's people, especially here at Calvary Baptist and our friends listening to by way of the live stream. We'll go to Romans chapter 12, where you already are and where I am as well in our Bible. And we see the remedy. We see not only the restoration, we not only see that, but we see the remedy when there's consternation among those by God's people who give a poor opinion of who God is in their settings. Now, how did that happen? How did it happen that they could give a poor opinion of who God is? Why, it may have just been by their exposures and being exposed to the wrong defiling influences so much that some of that dirt, some of that soiling began to take place in their lives and they didn't go to the Word of God and get cleansed as Ephesians 5 says in verse number 22, by the free-flowing water of the Word, they're sanctified or they're cleansed. No, instead of that, they have the wrong kind of exposures that have defilement as a part of it. Maybe it's a TV program. Maybe it's reading material. Maybe it's associations that are not godly. And they embrace those associations and say, yes, I just love to be around them, not just as family, but other influences that are defiling. And so just exposures that are around them. Maybe it's excitement. Maybe it goes on beyond just a casual soiling, but now because of the defilement, and the Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season, that now they just kind of gravitate toward that. And now it's not just the exposure, now there's an excitement in that exposure, and they find themselves going to it. And the more they do, the calluses against the will of God and the ways of God that are found in the Word of God become more intense. And therefore, they give a wrong opinion of who God is to everyone around them. It may have been through exposure, may have been through excitement, but now they find, like those who involve themselves in pornography, just looking at a little bit is never enough. You want to just get a little more, and then a little more, and a different type, and all of that. And as you and I understand, the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, of that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. It's going to bring about more and more and more. We know from the book of James that in chapter 4 that sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So there is the continuing process of corruption until it comes to the death of our testimony. And unfortunately, to the death of God's testimony. Not because he's incapable of overcoming ours, but because our testimony is so soiled by our exposures and our excitements and our experiences now getting involved in it, that we give a wrong opinion of who God is. But there is a remedy for that, and there's the opportunity for us to find the prevention, but also the remedy, and we find it in Romans chapter 12. So let's just get into it. There's really only 2 points that we'll get to today. Now, each point has 47 subpoints, but no, it doesn't really. All right, and you already know a lot of this, so I'm just bringing it to our attention, and especially to mine as well. But notice, if you will, as we look at it, and to main God's testimony in the believer's life and specifically to the church's life, you and I need to be clear-eyed. We need to be clear-eyed about God's testimony. We need to be clear-eyed. You know what that means. It means nothing distracting. It means just better than 20/20. It means being able to see, what does God want in my life? I just got saved. What does God want in my life? I've been saved a decade. What does God want in my life? I've been saved a half century or more. What does God want in my life for right now? How can I grow? How can I be used of God some way every day? Why, that's being clear-eyed. That's rising in the morning and saying, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth within me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. When it talks about the faith of the Son of God, it's a directional faith. It's an indicative if you studied the language on it. And it's a directional faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave. And my faith is directed to the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When you and I are clear-eyed and we come to Romans 12, we begin to see there's 2 things here. The first is the presentation through transformation. Look at verses 1 and 2. Would you do that with me, please? Verses 1 and 2, presentation through transformation. First, let's look at presentation. Notice what he says, I beseech you, therefore. Beseech just has the idea, come alongside. So many of you have been doing that for the last several weeks as Becky and I came to be a part of your church family. And you've come alongside, you've been so patient. As I would call Herman Sam, and I'd call Sam Herman, or whatever the name is. Or I'd say, well, you know, and we began to, as we moved up here, and Brother Ron brought his truck, and we had some folks from down in Shelby to help load the truck, and we got up here. My goodness, we just had a church load of folks that came and just filled the yard with their automobiles and the house with their help and just everything. And it was just such a blessing. And as you and I look at this and we think about, I beseech you, it has the idea to come along as you folks did so kindly to us. So notice what Paul is saying this to his brethren in Rome. I'm coming alongside of you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, reminding them of what God had done for them. By the way, if I could borrow your eyes just for a moment, if you and I journey very far from what God has done for us, we'll find our hearts and our vision soiled by the carnality of the world. It's only when you and I remember that Jesus took my place on a cross, the wood he created, suspended from a heaven he created, and above the earth he created. And he did so on a Roman cross, not a St. Andrew's cross, but a Roman cross, the epitome, the greatest example of being able to extract the most pain out of an individual. The Romans became very proficient. That was their ambition. Let's don't let an opportunity go to waste. Let's take these and let's make the cross in such a way there's nothing about pain that's being missed in that victim's body. When I forget that he died for me, I know that academically, but when I think about foundational principles for Randy Bray's life, and I invite these, my dear friends here, and these, and all across this auditorium and in the live stream, if we get very far removed, we will find the soilings of the world begin to accumulate on our body. Well, it's just a little dust. It's just a little dust. Oh, it's just a little thing on my visions. Maybe it's a cataract. I'll get that removed sooner or later. I can still see just fine. But we'll find that the accumulative effect will become so much that no longer do we see truth as truth. But as it says in Romans 1, they changed the truth of God into a lie. We will find ourselves warming up to the fire of carnality's invitement to be warmed and in fellowship with the defiled. But if we're going to be what God wants us to be as a church family, so that we can intentionally, wholeheartedly, and justifiably go into our Judea, into our Jerusalem, and our Judea, and our Samaria, and then into the uttermost part of the earth. If we do so prematurely, and we invite them to a church where there's this going on, and that going on, and this, and I'm not saying those things are going on, but certainly, let's make certain before we open the doors, and we go into all the world, and we go down the street, and we go across the county, before we do that, let's introspect and say, Lord, is it I that needs the attention? Am I the one who needs the attention of the Holy Spirit's convicting power? That needs to start from behind the pulpit here. It would go all the way to the sound room. For members of Temple that yet cannot come back with us, but they listen on live stream, and other wonderful friends on live stream as well. Oh, we must come to that place. As God beseeches us, as Paul did the Romans, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Remember that it's the mercy of God that removed out of the way the sinful nature that would prevent you from receiving the grace of God. As long as mercy was withheld, there was that in place that would prevent the grace of God from providing all the wonderful blessings that we see, heavenly sunshine, glory to God, and so forth. But it's because the mercies of God, when I called out as a 17-year-old young man and I said, Lord, I'm a sinner and I deserve to die and go to hell, but I'm asking you to come into my heart. Oh, the love of God took his mercy and it took that bulldozer and it bulldozed out of the way my sinful nature, and God's wonderful grace came in. And it says in Romans, therefore, if any man be in Christ, would you quote it with me? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Oh, all things are passed away. Behold, all things become what? Oh, let's give that last word one more little sound. All things become what? New. And it's because of the mercies of God. He says, I beseech you, I'm coming alongside of you by the mercies of God. Now, that's what God's done. Now, he's saying, we have a job to do. Brother Don, you have a job to do. Brother Patterson, you have a job to do. Brother Miles, you have a job to do. Sister Gresham, you have a job to do. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. I doubt if there's any, perhaps there are. I doubt if there's many here today who do not know this passage well. You're very familiar with Romans 12, 1 and 2. It's a classic passage of Scripture. And yet I would invite your attention, as I'm requiring mine to come to it this morning, as though it was the first time I'd ever seen it. Because he says, here's the remedy. Here's to how we prevent those cataracts, that soiling to be in our lives at all. Oh, not at all, at all, at all. Or if it's been there, or it is there today. It's the remedy for that soiling of God's testimony. Is it soil us? Oh yeah, we're the ones who are soiled. But I'm as concerned not just for myself or for you, because you have the Holy Spirit that can come into your heart and begin to chasten you by his voice, Hebrews chapter 12, or chasten you by the spanking, Hebrews chapter 12, where he says the chastening of the Lord is first, it's grievous, but afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Yes, we ought to be concerned if there's sin in the camp. Yes, 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 yes. But what are we doing to the testimony of God among our loved ones as they hear us use a Christian curse word? Yeah, it's not like the world would use that ugly, nasty, ugly word. But it's a word that, I mean, it's about as close as you can get to coming out with a real McCoy. Because we're mad. Or we're disappointed, or we're whatever. And maybe even take God's name in vain. Well, bless God, I would. And he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That makes it individually responsible. That means Randy Bray and each one of us here today, If we know the Lord is our Savior, my responsibility daily is to say, Lord, I present my body a living sacrifice. That means I am to zero out Randy Bray. If I'm going to be a living sacrifice, even as Abraham took his living sacrifice, Daddy, I see the wood and I see the fire. We've got all that with us, but Daddy, where's the sacrifice? Don't worry about it, son. God will provide himself the sacrifice. But he is saying in this context, it's not me offering my son or my home or my car or my whatever it is. But he is saying, Randy, I want you to come daily. As Paul said to the Galatian Christians, I am crucified with Christ. Paul says, I'm doing that daily. He says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Lord, zero me out today. I want my agenda to be yours. I want my passions to be yours. I want my convictions to be yours. I want, no matter what venue I'm in, whether I'm at the work or I'm at church or I'm at the grocery store or somebody cuts me off on the highway, whatever it is, Lord, I want to be a zero as far as me rising up and taking precedence or priority over your will in my life. Notice what he says. Three things there. Presentation of your bodies, a living sacrifice. And notice the standard here. Holy. That takes the zero and it takes it all the way up, all the way up, all the way up to the holiness of God. I'm starting out with zero. That's Randy Bray. And I'm saying, Lord, here I'm coming to you today. And Lord, on this Sunday morning or on Monday afternoon or whatever it is, Lord, I want to present my body a living sacrifice. Everything about me, Lord, I want it to be all about you. And Lord, I am coming to a zero. That doesn't mean you have low self-esteem. That is not it at all. What it means is that everything about you, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Lord, I want it to be all about you, all about you, all about you, dear Lord. And the only way that can happen is if the standards of my life, the convictions of my life, are not based on the preferences of Randy Bray. And I do have preferences. Oh. But as I've quoted many times, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, a mirrored image, a reflection. We see it in the Word of God. About the Son of God. But we with open face, up close, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. We are changed into the same image from glory to glory, from glory to glory, from glory to glory, from glory. Well, let's put it this way. From being righteous, Romans 12, 1 and 2, justified, declared righteous, and therefore holy at that point. And it can go from holy to holy, from holy to holy, from glory, from holy, from glory to glory, or from holy to holy. Now, in other words, are we going to become God-like even as God is? No. But there's this doctrine called progressive sanctification, becoming more like Jesus every day, every day, every day. Am I going to still sin? Yes, John 1 tells us that. If a man says he's not sinning, he's deceiving himself. If he says, I have not sinned, he makes God a liar and the truth is not in him. So the point is simply this. The prevention and the remedy for soiling God's testimony to others is for us to be that living sacrifice, holy, and then this, acceptable to God. Acceptable to God. Have you ever tried to buy something and it just wasn't enough? I mean, you dickered with it. I mean, you just there and you think you are a person extraordinaire that's able to talk them down. I'm just the opposite. I am just the opposite. When I walk in, they just start smiling. And they just know, oh, wait a minute, we mismarked this. How in the world did they miss? I'm sorry. You do want it, right? Oh, yeah, okay. It must be really worth a lot. Okay, and I think I've told you about the necklace that I bought over in Israel that kind of went that way. Only he came down, but only after he had gone way up. And I thought it was a gem, and he got a gem of a deal. When I got back to the States, I had it appraised over there. And, oh, yeah, this is good. Great. Oh, you got a deal. I got back over here, and the jeweler said, oh, that's the prettiest cut of glass I've ever seen. I mean, it was really well done. Did you say glass? Yeah. It's not, I forget now what it was, a ruby. It's supposed to be, I think. It's not glass? No, it's not. I mean, it's not a ruby. No, it's glass. My point is simply this. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. God knows if we're offering a currency that's not agreeing with His holiness. And we can go no further than just think about Cain and Abel. Oh my goodness, did Cain have an offering? Absolutely. And he wasn't a herdsman. And he was given of what he did. It was the fruit of his sweat of his brow and all that. And he brought it to God, and God said no. And evidently Abel said, Cain, are you nuts? He probably didn't say it quite like that. But no, you need to offer the sacrifice God said to offer. And we know the end of it. The tragic end. In his progeny and a lot of other ways. In his children and so forth, there's other ways. So when you and I stop and consider this matter this morning, a presentation through transformation, giving the right testimony about God. Notice what he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So it's presentation through transformation, but it is also the transformation. Notice what he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We hear a lot about legalism. You just are being so strict. You're just trying to tell me how to live. And my opinion is just as good as yours. And it is. But it's not as good as his. And if we're not careful, we will give precedence, we will give priority to what I think is right. Now, what you think may very well be right, but it needs to be backed up by this Word of God. And so as you and I look at our areas of associations or recreation or the priorities of how we do our business or whatever else it is, and we've just done it this way for all these years. I mean, we've just done it this way. Ain't never done it any other way. We've done it this way. But if we're going to give a true opinion of who God is, don't do it just because of Randy Bray. My goodness. You know, my size 7 shoes. Now, some of you, I could slalom ski in some of your shoes. Okay, but my little foot, from my foot up to my head, I better not pattern my life after what Randy Bray thinks. If I do, I'm going to be soiled, as they say in Texas, in a skinny minute. But if I take whatever it is that's in my life, my marriage to this little lady, or my responsibility to our children, or the fact that I have the joy and privilege of being pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Hendersonville, North Carolina, if I just wing it because I've done this for almost 50 years now, and boy, I know how to do that, I may very well soil God's reputation. Can he overcome that? Oh, yes, he can send somebody else, but why would I want him to have to do that? And I would plead with each of us here that as you and I think about what he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And he says, and be not conformed to this world. And that's where we have such a problem. In our dress and our attitudes and everything else, we go by what's fashionable. If it's fashionable to laugh at what sin is, as many people do, and that's one of the great targets or strategies of the devil, is to take that which has been seen as being ugly and sinful and wicked, and he'll bring in some way to make it funny, and they'll laugh about it on TV or at the workplace or around the water cooler. They'll make it funny so that we get to hearing it and hearing it and hearing it. My wife and I are changing our, and I'll not go into the business because it's not why we're here, but we're changing our pharmacy. Because they now have a commercial about that particular chain where they have a woman coming out and she gives a four-letter word. This is a middle-aged lady. She's given a middle-aged lady and she's using a very foul word. They kind of bleep it out, but it's obvious as they give the first consonant as what she's saying. And so it makes it look funny, and it bleeps it out, and it's just, oh, I'm sure. And they make it funny, much like they did homosexuality many years ago with Three's Company. They make it funny to where we can laugh about it, and everybody laughs about it, and then it becomes a part of society. And if we're not careful as Christians, we will find ourselves a little at a time being soiled. Being soiled with this defilement and soiled with that. And we just brush it off and say, oh, it's no big deal. But it comes right back with some more soiling. Until we get comfortable with that little extra weight and a little more extra weight. And before long, our feet are in mud. And we're saying, yes, I'm a Christian. I sing in the choir. Yes, I'm a Christian and I do this. And the whole time the devil is saying to the unsaved person around us, if that's a Christian, you don't need it. You're better than they are. And that's what this is about. Pastor Bray, you must think you've got a bunch of heathen in front of you. No, I don't. I have beloved brethren and sisters in Christ. I'm just laying in front of us when God laid this whole thing on my heart many, many weeks ago. What do we need foundationally? We need foundationally to give that clear testimony. Not the kind of testimony about, well, that's clear as mud. No, but to give a clear testimony of who God is and what he can do in a sinner's life. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he can do for you. With arms wide open, you've heard this before. I've repeated it before. He'll welcome you. It is no secret what God can do. God wants to use Calvary Baptist Church. I'm only about halfway through the message, but all the way through time. But let me just say this, that as you and I understand that we need to be clear viewed as to what God wants in our life. Let's don't pattern our work habits. You may have everybody else that just does a half job because they don't get reprimanded for it, so we do a half a job. Or in our clothing, or in our attitudes, or in our whatever. Just a lot of different things. We model ourselves after the world. And the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things of the world. We're not talking about cars and horses and dogs and cats. We're talking about philosophies of the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Because here's what he says. If any man, that's all inclusive. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is where? Not in him. And he tells about what's going to happen to all that's in the world. It's going to pass away. It's a wise Christian and it's a wise church who does a lot of soul searching on a regular basis. And not that we beat ourselves like the priests of old and they would take the rope and they would have it on a wooden handle and they'd have the leather straps. And they would beat themselves believing that the more they beat themselves, it would cause them to be humble before God. And it would chase away any kind of pride that they would have. And they would beat themselves until their backs were raw. That's not what God wants. He wants us to be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. How's that done? Well, that's the last part of the message. And if you'll look very quickly, we're not going to go through it, but if you'll look beginning in verse number 9, let love be without dissimulation. And through verse 21, and Lord willing, we'll get to that next time, but you're going to notice that there is a contrast. Time and time and time and time again, there's a contrast between what your flesh is going to want you to do and what God's will is in every one of those settings, every one of them. You see, the first one, let love be without dissimulation or hypocrisy. Don't have a standard for why you love some people and why you're not going to love others. Or what somebody has to offer and somebody else doesn't have to offer is really how you measure the kind of friendship and relationship and the charity, the godly love that you pour on them. No, he says, let your love be without dissimulation. And he tells there's the contrast, is love and dissimulation. How do you do it? You abhor, you have a holy hatred for that which is evil, and cleave to that which is good. You see that same pattern all the way through. And what does that do? It's like taking Randy Bray. If I get up in the morning and my sister over here, my brother over there, if I get up in the morning and say, Lord, I want to be that living sacrifice. I want to zero out Randy Bray. And today I want it to just be built, my day to be built on that which is acceptable in thy sight, that which is deemed as holy before you. And as I do that, Lord, these filters will begin to take place. And as something comes in and my passion says, oh, give into it. Yes, get mad or get this or that. These filters begin to take place because of, oh, from glory to glory, from glory to glory. And you know what? Sweeter as the years go by, the songwriter wrote, because as you walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh, the Bible says you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That means there's victory. There's victory waiting in the very area in which you say it's impossible. God said, no, it's not. I've already requisitioned 2 Peter chapter 1. I've already requisitioned everything you need for life and godliness. It's already there. I'm just waiting on you to present your body a living sacrifice. Pursue holiness, because that is what's acceptable to God. And when you and I do that, our sweet fellowship with God will be so intense that any soiling, oh, get it off. Get it off. And I'm not even going to walk under that again. And the sweet fellowship will be heaven sent. And then we, as we build Calvary Baptist Church, however it goes, with 5 people or 500, however it goes, then it'll be a foundation upon which we can build. Will you pray with me, please? Our Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your word. And Lord, how it convicts my heart and reminds me of those areas where perhaps I better get that off. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you, Father, I'm asking you to forgive me. But then, Father, I pray that we'll be ambitious of being what you want us to be as a church family, as brothers and sisters in Christ, and the love that we have for each other will just exponentially, just tremendously increase because of walking in the light as you are in the light. And therefore, we will have fellowship one with another. But that is light-based. So, Father, I pray that your will be accomplished today. And Father, I pray that whatever decisions need to be made so that we become that living sacrifice, so that we evaluate the priorities as to why we make the choices that we do, that we bring those back to Romans 12, 1 and 2, and look at it and say, is this according to God's prerequisites for holiness and acceptance? And when they are, wonderful, and we can go ahead. If not, then we can give them to thee and thank you for it. We'll ask your blessing upon it. In Jesus' name I pray.